To be able to come back in here, and this morning I went ahead and took my message and put it on PowerPoint, so I'm going to briefly just kind of summarize where we started in 2018, and then we're going to get into, like I said, we had a New Year's Eve service here, but let me just start. 2018 is going to be a year of transformation, just specifically for me, for the church, for this word, I believe, for the churches. They don't have to hear this message to be transformed, because it's not my message, it's God's message, and that's the Word. And the Word is working through the whole earth. Amen? But a year of transformation, getting back on track. Now, when I say getting back on track, you got to hear from God specifically in your life. But He's gave us some directives, and it comes from Romans 12:1-2. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, and it's holy. Give it holy and acceptable. See, once you get born again, God has made you holy. Now He wants you to take your life and just dedicate it to Him every day. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that we can prove the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, so we can have good success. Amen? That's the whole purpose. God wants us to be a success. Are we going to have some failures, some shortcomings? Yeah. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, you got to keep, somebody says, well, don't stop. How do you get through? Well, don't stop. Keep walking. Keep walking through. See, with hope, I can walk through. If I don't have hope, I can't get there. I can't make it through. That's why God sent me you. Amen? Because we need each other to get through. Amen? Now, if nobody help you, God's going to help you. But God didn't just leave. You know, remember the prophet Elijah? He thought he was the only one that could call fire down from heaven and take on the enemies of God. But God says, Elijah, I got you covered. I got 6,000-7,000 more prophets, people. God's always going to have a remnant that's going to hear Him and listen and obey, right? And He don't need an army. He can use 300. Gideon found that out. Don't need a lot, but I need somebody that's faithful. This is what is going to change our life, is His Word. So the introduction to the message specifically for transformation this year is getting back on track with God. It's not something we can just do once a year, once a month, once a week. It must be a daily commitment to walk with Him and study His Word. And that's how we're going to fulfill the plan He has for our life and bless. And here's a good kicker. And when we get blessed and start walking in that purpose and fulfilling, then we can bless others along the way. Because that's what it's about. Anytime you hung around Jesus and He said, follow me, and you followed Him, you were a blessing and you blessed others. I mean, He liked to fill boats with fishes. Amen. I don't think fishes is plural. Fish, that's one, or that can be 1,000 fish. But when you came to Jesus and you heard His message, He made sure you had a good dinner. You had more than enough to eat, right? But see, that's not the natural is not the most important thing, is it, Terry? It's the Spirit. It's the Word that's the most important. Amen. Because if you look for me to catch the fish for you to eat, hey, I'm not a fisherman. I can't do it. But if God tells me to go fishing, I go. And He'll put something in my boat. But see, each one of us has got a specific purpose that God has called us to do. Not everybody's a fisherman. But if you're called to fish, do what God says to do, and you'll be prosperous in it. Amen. So New Year's Eve service we had some good fellowship. Then we came over here and we prayed around the altar. And there was six specific directives. And number one was Listen and Learn by Miss Kelsey. And I'm going to ask her to come up. She didn't know I was going to ask her to come up. So that's good. I just wanted her to come up. See, this is what I heard, but she heard it from God. So I want her just to give her heart on what Listen and Learn is. Really, the Lord's given her a directive, and share it with you. She might have the whole message today.
Well, I mean, it applies to many people, but especially when you're like my age or a little bit younger and you're figuring out what God wants you to do and where he's ready to put you and what he wants to do through you and everything. A lot of that just comes from spending time with him and listening to what he's put on the inside of you and where he can make you strong, where maybe you're not, you've been weak or uncomfortable in certain areas, or, you know, things, gifts that he's already given you that are specific to the purpose he needs for you to do. So that part, that's a part of it. And then just listening to the teachers that you have around you, you know, each one of you can teach somebody something about God because you're called by him to be a witness, right? So that's part of, you know, listening to the body, listening to his word, spending time with him and the Holy Spirit, letting them guide you. And then learning is a part of that. But learning, I think, also implies a little bit of action. A lot of times you learn through experience, not just by listening to other people. So that's kind of what I've heard and what I'm ready to see happen, I guess.
All right, because like I say, I'd really had a, you know, the Lord gives me something specific, the vision for pertaining to this year, and this year it just came different. It came through the body of believers that were here. That now, I'm not saying just because you wasn't here. See, that I believe it comes through the whole body. Amen? See, you're all special. You're all loved of God. And what God has called you to do is important. Amen. So listen and learn was number one. Number two was trust what he has said. That's from Reed. And Reed said, trust. And then number three is he is here to protect us, from Sister Tammy. Let go and let God came from Miss Sherry. Number five, Darius said, be thankful for all that God has done for us throughout the year. And then number six, I just heard as a train was coming, the Lord said, we're getting back on track. So it's going to take all those directives, and the goal is to stay, get on track. And to get on, if you're off track, get on track. And I think we all could be on derailed sometimes. We get on the wrong track, going the wrong way. And then we don't want to end up at the end of that catastrophe, right? So what did Paul mean? We talked about when the Apostle Paul was talking about don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word conform means to be fashioned alike and to conform to the same pattern. And we don't want the world's pattern. We don't want to be conformed to this world's image because the image of it is producing is death. It's the Babylonian system. Now, if the world, and when I talk about when I'm looking at the world, if I'm looking at Christians, that's the example. If they're being Christ-like. But the world, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. If the world's bringing you tribulation, that ain't coming from God. It's coming from the world, which is ruled by the devil, the little g, the little god of this world. He's only ruling because we're still here, because Jesus hadn't put an end to it yet. But the Christians, we're not. He's not our Lord. See, the world is his devil. To the devil, the world, not the Christian, is his congregation, but that's not us. So we don't want to be conformed. We don't be fashioned like this world, because we're different. We've been transformed. I say we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And that was a transition that took place when you said, Jesus, I need you, Lord. See, you don't, it ain't a specific form or fashion. You just got to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. But what it's a call, it's a heart's call. Not a head call. But the only way you're going to be able to come to Jesus is when he's pulling you. And because he said, when you seek me, you'll find me. And it's the incorruptible seed. It's that faith. It's that testimony somebody gave me when I was walking in this world. It was a Christian that was showing me Jesus in the world. And I finally called out to that God that I wasn't sure if he was there. And he showed up. See, he's a God that shows up and likes to show off. So if we think on the same things the world thinks, help me, we're going to get the same results. We're going to look like the world. But if we keep our minds stayed upon God through the study of his word, and that's our focus, we're going to be transformed. And spend some fellowship with him. And that's in Isaiah 26:3. We can have perfect peace. Now, I'm not just kind of putting it on the board here, but so we're talking about transformation, confirmation. I want to be transformed into His image and in His likeness. So that Greek word, that transform, we talked about the butterfly. Before it became a butterfly, it had to be a caterpillar. So see, before I got born again, I was a sinner. I was just born a sinner, born into this world. Didn't know what sin was, but I was born into it because of Adam's transgression. We have all sinned and come short of God's glory. But that's not the end. Jesus came, amen, and gave me new life. He saw where I was a worm, but He was going to give me, turn me into a butterfly through the transformation of His word, of His life. See, Jesus came and gave me His life. So that's what that word transform means. It means metamorphosis. We're going through a transformation. And once we get born again, now our spirit has already been changed, completed in the image and likeness of God. But see, now our soul and our body is going to go through some transformation as we renew our mind to who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's how we end up being a success. Amen? And you don't be a success by just sitting around doing nothing. Well, you'll be successful at that, of doing nothing. Amen? But who wants to be that kind of success? We want to be a success for God, to help somebody else out. Amen? See, you carrying somebody else's miracle, testimony. Deliverance is on the inside of you. You don't have to have a microphone, be on the CD. Just be in the world, letting Christ, the hope of glory, show forth through you. Just a couple words. There's testimonies in here of people just speaking to people and ministering, just giving them, encouraging them, changing lives. And that was in Matthew 17:2, that Jesus talks about Jesus went up on the mountain, His face shone and His garments became white as light. Jesus was transformed. He let His disciples see the transformation that one day was going to happen to them when they got born again. See, but you couldn't see it on the outside, because see, the flesh keeps the spirit on the inside. But you can see the effects of that changed life by love and by what Peter, when he preached that first message, there was something different about him. Now that same Holy Ghost that was in Jesus was in Peter, and he was given that boldness to declare what he knew because of the word, because of that knowledge. He spent some time with Jesus. Now that same Holy Ghost was anointing Peter with the words that he had heard his mama teach him when she took him to the synagogue. And when he'd be out there fishing, he'd be thinking about God, but he just couldn't make that connection until a man named Jesus came on the Sea of Galilee and made a connection for Peter. See, Jesus knew Peter. He knew him when he was a little boy, trying to understand God by the scriptures. And, you know, we're all trying to, we can only get a head knowledge, but we couldn't make that heart connection until Jesus came to earth, Lord at His birth, and changed the world. Amen. Now we get to help out now. We get to help change the world. It comes by, first we talked about listening and learn was our first directive. And we had a couple of directives there in listen and learn. Pretty much Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words. To listen, you got to listen. You got to show up, right? Come to church, go to school. When growing up, I had to go to school. I didn't like going to school, but my parents knew better than I did. They knew the outcome. A good education will help you succeed, right? You got to have an education. Even Jesus went to school, amen, and grew in the knowledge of God. And he listened to those teachers. You see, he took on the form of us and still had to learn just like we did. He put away all that deity and learned and became an example, just like we learn. But he still had to listen. What's that teacher saying? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can't, what is God saying to us right now and throughout the day? He is always speaking, but we're always listening. Because every day is a new day. If you missed it, you didn't quite accomplish what you wanted to yesterday, well, you still got tomorrow. So don't focus on what you didn't do yesterday. Keep your eyes focused on what Jesus said. Get it done. You can do it. Amen. Proverbs 15:29-31 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that hears the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Listen. Luke 9:44, "Let these sayings sink." And that's why I wanted to put them so much on the projector screen today, because I've heard some good teaching that when we get a mental picture of something, when we see it with our eyes and not just our ears, it helps it sink down into our hearts. You know, the good teachers, they say a good teacher will give you a picture of something. They'll give you a parable. They'll give you something that lets that teaching sink down in. You get a picture of it. It ministers to you. You know, when Jesus talked about sowing the word, man, he knew there was farmers out here. They knew how to farm. They knew how to plant and get corn. And he said, if you can take that and put God's word, it's the same law that'll work. That if you put God's word of a promise in your heart and you meditate on it, keep watering it with your prayer and your thanksgiving and your praise, you got a harvest coming. You got a harvest coming. And he would link that to a seed. So let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Jesus was saying, let what I say sink into the ears of your heart. So a lot of people, they come to church and they're expecting to see something. They're sick. They expect to see somebody get healed. But see, they're looking, but they're not listening. See, you don't see that first. You got to believe it first. And if you'll start believing for that person to be healed, and you're dealing with something, next thing you know, Jesus can heal you. I remember when I first come into the church. See, this is church. God does something. Demonstrate. We're supposed to demonstrate his power. His power. In other words, put him on display. Put Jesus on display. Get him out of the inventory room and put him in the front window. Amen? For the whole world to see. See, that's what's going to change lives. You know, me and Lewis, we went and seen Jack Blackwelder. You know, I got a call from Pastor Lewis, and he wasn't looking too good in his flesh. I mean, he went from taking chemo, they rushed him back to ICU, and Lewis was up there and all the way with the family. And man, we had to put on gloves and mask, and I was like, I can't. And how am I going to pray? Got gloves on. But it's like so many, you know, we're just ministers. We walk in there. We don't need, I ain't getting nothing. I'm bringing something. The world don't understand like we understand. But see, prayer goes, you don't have to have gloves. Not going to keep the word from getting in. Man, we agreed and prayed. And then Lewis gave me a call the next morning, because that was at night, and said, Jack's up and he's hungry and asking for food. If you'd seen him when we seen him, it didn't look good at the flesh, just looking at the flesh. But Jack had some words that he said, I'm not receiving this bad report. I don't want to go home. I don't want to go meet Jesus in the hospital. I want to be home, be with my wife, be with my family. In other words, be living. I don't want to be up here in the hospital. So that's his desire, to get out of there, get home. Amen. But see, we can't be moved by what we see. We got to be moved by what we believe on the inside. And then just get other people to just hook up with us and believe. And, hey, as long as we're here, we got to fight. Fight to fight. Come alongside people and help them fight. So listen. Isaiah 66:1, "Thus saith the Lord from heaven." Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. "Where is the house you will build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" And then we put in Acts 7:51. This was a pretty stuff rebuke here. It says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, Stephen, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." You know, that was the Holy Ghost speaking. And Stephen got stoned for that. Look at the persecution the church is going. We're always going to be persecuted. For righteousness' sake, we're going to be persecuted. Some will be martyrs. Some of us won't be martyrs, but hey, we got to stand. The song we were singing, we got to stand with truth in our hand. Amen. And declare and decree what God says. Listen and learn. This is a lot of listening. Now let's focus on learning, like Kelsey was talking about. You know, there's a time to pray, and then there's a time to say. Go out there and say what you've been praying. In other words, you get in your prayer closet. That don't have to be it. That's not talking about your own. You ain't got to go to a closet to pray. Amen. You just got to get somewhere and you got to pray. You got to spend some time. Jesus went up on the mountain. That was his closet. Go up on the mountain and pray. Just get some time with the Lord. Get your directive. We got some directives. Listen and learn. Get back on track. First thing we got to be listening to the Lord, and we got to learn from the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you saying? What does this mean? What do I need to do to get back on track? It could be in your relationships. It could be back on track in your focus on your relationship with the Lord. Whatever it is for you, start by listening. And then through that listening, we should be learning something. So here's a few scriptures the Lord gave me for learning. Deuteronomy 31:12. Nothing wrong. We need to go to the Old Testament, and we need to find the scripture reference to the new so we can have a balance in life. Deuteronomy 31:12 says, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and your stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear." They may hear. "And that they may learn." Learn. "And fear the Lord your God." In other words, reading of the word. Deuteronomy was a reading of the law. Now see, they had to have the law before they got Jesus, so they had to have the law. And hearing that law, they needed to hear it. So they would hear it and they would learn and learn the fear of the Lord and observe to do the words of this law. So it was important that Moses said, "Gather the people and put them together so they can listen." In other words, the Bible says, this ain't right here, but it says, don't forsake yourself of the gathering together. Why? God's got something he wants to say through the pastor, through the body, through the praise and worship, through the leadership of the church, specific for that day. Now go over to, then we're going to go over to Acts 20:28-31. Talking about learning. Learning. We should always be learning. Amen. Hey, you can learn while you're sleeping. See, because what I like, your spirit never is asleep. Your body and your mind, your body is at rest when your mind is at sleep. See, your brain is not your mind. Once you die, your body falls over. Your brain falls over with your body. But that's not your mind. That's your soul. Your soul, your intellect, that's your soulless man. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's your spirit and your soul. They're out of there. We're going to get our body changed one day, but see, that's so amazing. A lot of times science wants to look at all these things and how the brain and how it operates, but that's just, it's the mind that's operating through that muscle, through that tissue, and that's God. Only God can do that. Now you will be affected in your body if you do something happens there to your brain. But if you have the mind of Christ, see, something could be removed from your brain, and you could still, through your renewing of your mind to who you are in Christ Jesus, you could still function without that part. If you just believe God, He can bring it back. Or you can just go on without it and still function the same way if you just trust in God. I'm just throwing some theories out there, some facts about the Word, what it can do. Amen. Acts 20:28-31. And I've heard testimonies when I remember going to some of Benny Hinn's miracle healings when we first got born again. There was people that went up there that had rods in their back, had been in accidents and had to have rods put in their back, and went up there and got touched and got healed, couldn't stand up straight and were walking. And they come back and gave testimony later. They went to the doctor. The rod was still there. But they can move with that steel rod that they couldn't do. See, God can take the steel and make it be transitioned to bone for you, or he can take it out. Whatever. But man, it was just like they went up there believing God. So if God needed to leave the steel in there, fine. Just leave it up to God, because he's the healer. He knows what that body needs. But the main thing is that we need him. Learn of him. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. And this really ministered to me, over which the Holy Ghost has made me an overseer by the Holy Spirit. To feed the church of God. And that's why I'm here. I want to feed you so God can lead you. See, he's your shepherd. He's your chief shepherd. Which God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, and see, that's what I like to say, when somebody leaves this earth, they're not lost, they've just departed. Every time you go to an airport, you got departures. To Hawaii, to San Francisco. Well, see, when a Christian leaves, we've just made our departure to heaven, to Jesus, to the throne of God. See, we all got a ticket one day, right? We all got our ticket. But you determine what's your departure date. Amen? Long life he'll satisfy you with. That's close in your departure. That's kind of close. Amen? Remember that book, Lewis, Write Your Own Ticket. You know, you determine by the actions, by the choices you make, determines that. You know, we're all in areas here where we don't put in our bodies what we need to. We don't, you know, we don't do it just to be doing it. We're not doing it to tempt the Lord, but we're slacking some areas, and that kind of can make our departure a little bit closer than what we want. But we still got time to change, right? Help me, Lord. For I know this, that after my departing, this is Paul, grievous wolves entering in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Learning. Therefore, you can say watch. I say learn. Watch. In other words, you got to listen in this. You got to get into the Word. Because if you don't have the Word, that the Word is truth. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are life, but they're truth. And if we don't have the truth, then we're not going to know the false. We could be deceived. See, that's the devil's main objective. That's what he's good at, is deceiving us. Because if we don't know the truth, we can be deceived. The Bible says we could believe a lie and be damned. Well, you believe a lie because you don't know the truth. That's why our world is such a, our government and all this stuff is such a mess, because you got people in positions of leadership that don't have integrity, that lie for selfish gain. And see, that's our leadership. And that's what they're making decisions about, what's going to happen in our check and our place of employment. So we need to, that's why we pray. We pray for godly leaders, amen? So God can bring some down, lift some up, bring them down. Now, we love them, but, you know, we got to have the right people there. Learn of me. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So we got to be watching and we got to be praying. Learn the scriptures. Learn the word. So you don't want everybody praying for you. When you need something, somebody to pray, you need somebody that knows the word, knows how to pray. I see a lot of things on Facebook, you know, praying. If I answer one of those, I'm going to have the word in there. I'm going to put, it's going to be about a paragraph. Because praying what? If I ask for prayer, I want to know, I want you to be praying the word. What do you specifically hear from God? Pray that over me, amen? Now, I'm not saying not everybody's not praying. It's just one word praying. I want to know what you're praying. Amen. Here, pray this for me. Agree. Say pray the prayer of agreement. There's different types of prayers out there to pray. So you just got to be careful, because there's other people that can pray. Get them, Lord. You know they. You know what I mean? Lord, they need some. They need some patience, Lord. You just got to watch who's praying for you. Jeremiah 10:23-24. Lord, we're here to learn from you today, from your word. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Anybody ever been there? I can handle this. I got this. This was before I got born again. Sometimes you have to watch, even when you get born again, you think, Moses had a problem. He had the plan. I'm going to kill this Egyptian. God's going to use me. I'll take him out with my own hand, slay that Egyptian. Because I'm in a place of leadership. I'm second under Pharaoh. I can handle this. See, that's what Moses thought, how God was going to use him. That wasn't God's plan. Moses was in the preparation stage, and he thought it was time. And it cost him 40 years in the wilderness, and it cost the children of Israel more time in bondage. And they was hurting a lot more than Moses was. Now we wonder why he had to lead 3 million people. Think about it now. You reap what you sow. He reaped a lot of hardship because he put people in hardship. Think about that. I mean, not intentionally. He just really didn't know intentionally that was what was going to happen. He thought, I'm thinking about Judas. Judas didn't think Jesus was going to let him take him. But then he did. I mean, he sold him out, but he figured, Jesus, I'll make a little bit of money off this. Jesus, can't nobody take him? Man, I've seen the power he's operating in. That wasn't God's plan. It cost Judas his life. He was deceived by the devil. Amen? So, see, we need to get God's plan, God's perspective. Lord, how do I do this? I need to spend some time underneath your anointing, learning. See, I'm in the learning process up here. Amen? Pastor don't know it all. I'm learning with you a lot of times. Now, I know some things I didn't know years ago, but I say, Lord, help me. I'm still learning. Amen? And that's where we just got to stay humble. Learn of the Lord. Jeremiah 10, I hadn't read that yet, 23-24, did I? I got halfway. Oh, no. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Lord, correct me. This would be a good prayer to pray for ourselves. Lord, correct me. But with judgment. In other words, that's not punishment. Judgment starts at the house of the Lord. In other words, Lord, judgment is it right or is this wrong? Help me here. Judge me. Judge my understanding here. So a lot of people think judgment is God's going to make you sick. God's going to kill you. He's going to take you out of here. Judgment is just, you judge the word. Is that right or is it wrong? Is that from me or is that from God? Judge me. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. I don't want God to judge me in his anger. That's what he put Jesus on the cross for. Because his wrath was poured out on Jesus. Amen. That was his, that's Jesus, his whole purpose was to come, was to take all that anger from his Father onto himself so that we could have the peace. So we could have peace in this world. Amen. All that anger. So when you run across somebody that's angry, don't you give them the rod. You got to give them love. Amen. Because the Bible talks about a soft word will turn away that wrath. It'll turn away that anger. And see, that's the word that you would have. You've listened. And I've learned this in church. Now it's time to act on what I believe. And I'll just, a little short testimony. And the funeral, I told you that wake we went to. I don't call it a funeral. Well, if you take a lot of the, what's the beginning of that word, funeral? First three letters. Fun. I had fun. I had fun at that funeral. Because we was glorifying God that this person knew, individual knew. And we was glorifying. We was singing, praising the Lord. And we had a fun time knowing that she's in heaven, where she needs to be. But I remember talking about anger, listening and learning. When I first got saved and was learning of the Lord and learning, praying in the Holy Ghost and learning how to, when something's going on, how to hear from the Holy Spirit and then say and react. That individual, I was in apartment maintenance, and she'd been there. And even in the funeral, they called it the project, but I don't call it a project. I don't like that word. But that's, in the project, it's low-income housing. So I'm like, need to knock that agit off of there. It's a place for people that's in hard times to get there, to get out of there. But some people made it a place where you just get trapped there, just relying on the government instead of relying on God. Now, you have to balance all this. But she was a precious lady. She'd been there, raised her kids there, and now I'm here at her funeral. But when I was working in apartment maintenance, maybe I've been there 2 years, got about 135 people that we service, keep maintenance upon their apartments. Well, she moved from one apartment to another. Sometimes you got to move from a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom, depending on how many kids you got in the house. Well, and she had planted this tree. And I think it turns into a big tree if you let it, with big old leaves. It looks like maybe an elephant tree. I don't know. It had some big old limbs on it. But see, when you're there, you've got to abide by the rules of the complex. And you just can't plant trees without asking for authority to do it. Because, see, we have to mow the yard. We have to trees, all these things. But when it's your house, you think it's your house. You know, you have this mentality that, well, if I want to plant a tree, I'll go out here and plant a tree. Well, she planted this tree. Now, it started to grow, but it was getting bigger, so that the supervisor never really said anything to her, just made the comment among us. But eventually it's getting big, and so now we're having to trim this tree. And so my maintenance supervisor goes to the supervisor and lets him know that there's a tree down here. We need to get rid of this tree because it's growing now. We're mowing and we're having to duck our heads. We're having to trim it. And she planted it and didn't ask. Well, nobody really went and talked to her about it. So we go down there with a chainsaw during, you know, the season, this time to trim trees. And it's, I don't know, Reed, about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. We're having a pretty good day, you know. We crank out the chainsaw, three of us. We always went in threes, and we get the work done. We commence to cutting that tree down. Next thing I know, because the chainsaw was pretty loud, but I just had this feeling. And then I hear this noise. This individual comes out of her apartment with a cast iron pan, letting a lot of choice words fly. Blankety blank blank, that's my blankety blank tree, and you better blanket, you know, and had the pan going to take it to us. That was her tree. So I commenced to praying in the Holy Ghost. Now the people that work with me, they don't pray in the Holy Ghost. So I prayed silently, real loud. Because she was fired. She was angry. And so, you know, we stepped back. Yeah, she got a pan. And she was just on the porch. She's coming down. So we got by her by the truck. And I can't remember what all our supervisor was saying. So we call our main supervisor, the one that sits in the office, which is the director. And we need help down here. We got a situation that's out of hand. But see, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost through all this. My dad used to be real vulgar mouth and real when he get drunk. So I've been in a situation, but without God. So I'm praying, and our director comes down, and finally he gets her kind of, he demands. He walked up there with the maintenance supervisor, and they got her calmed down and got her back in the house. And it was a scene. I mean, that was probably about 2 hours, you know. So I'm like, wow, I don't know. Lord, I'm praying for the interpretation. I did a lot of praying while they were, you know, that's the wisdom of God. So, of course, what happened the next day, there's a vacant unit beside her apartment. We've got to go back the next day and start cleaning out this unit and painting and cleaning for the next family to come in. So now we got to go beside her tomorrow after all this happens. But anyway, make a long story short, that was the gist of it. But so we, the next morning, we're bringing all our paint stuff in, and we're painting there. About 11 o'clock, we hear a knock on the door. And it's this individual, the one I went to her wake and funeral, made a good relationship with her. She came in there, all three of us, and she wanted us over there. And we're kind of like, you know, we kind of back from her a little bit. We kind of look and see if she's got anything in her hand. But she apologized to all four of us in that house and said, there was just a lot of things happened to me that day. A lot of things going on in my family. She said, when I just heard that chainsaw, she said, I just went ballistic. But she apologized and said that she wanted us to know that she went to church. That was Friday. She went to church Sunday. She asked the Lord to forgive her. And the Lord showed me what prayer can do. That it convicted. The Bible says if you pray and don't return anger for anger, but you pray, it'll keep coals of fire, conviction. So she went in that day, and the Lord just ministered to her. I didn't know how to minister, but I knew how to pray. Listen and learn. Learn how to pray. Pray to God for this person. A lot of times you can't pray for that person right now, but you can pray to God. You can pray in the Holy Ghost, your most holy faith, and it brought conviction. And I built a relationship with her and would go and minister to her when she was sick, and I went to her funeral. And like I say, it was a church bigger than this, packed out, and out of maybe 400 people, African-American, there was about two of us white. You know what? I blended right in because I was a faith man. I loved this woman. And I was there to know that she's in the presence of the Lord now. And it was a blessing. But see, had I not prayed, had I just got in the flesh, like Christians, we can still get in the flesh. But see, we've got to take authority over that flesh, and you've got to do that by listening and learning of the Lord. What is the right thing to do in that situation? Pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. Listen and learn. Galatians 3, 1 through 7. Two more points here and we'll close today. I tell you what, before I read, and I won't mess them up too bad here, I want to read Genesis 12, 1 and 3, the next. I want to read the Old Testament's promise here first. It says, "The Lord had said unto Abram, get out from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land I will show thee." Sometimes you just got to go where God says go and do what he says do, not knowing. It's a learning process. "Moreover, I will make of thee a great nation." There's the vision. I'm going to be a great nation. Well, I ain't looking like too much. "I'm going to make a great nation, and I will bless thee." There's how. Going to be great, Cecil. Going to do great things. How, Lord? Moses said, I don't have eloquent speech. He was lying. He was the leader of Pharaoh. He was smart. He was intelligent, Moses was. He's trying to hide that from God. God knew what I put in you. "Who created man's mouth?" He told Moses. "Who created man's mouth? I know what you can do." But he knew he's going to need some help. So he sent him. He said, "Okay, I'm going to send you Aaron." But anyway, the blessing, "I will bless thee and make thy name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curse you. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed." Thank you, Abraham, for believing God. Because, see, he stepped out to learn of what he just heard. He stepped out not knowing, but believing what he heard. Because, see, his family, they were idol worshipers. Why did he have to get out from his country? See, sometimes you just got to study. You got to find out, well, why would Lord send him out of his country? Why couldn't he do it there? Remember, a lot of times Jesus, he would pray. He would turn away from the crowd and go pray. Sometimes you got to get away from people to get the vision. Amen. Get away from people, seek God, and then you got the vision. I'm going to get out from your country. Because all this static and stuff going on, all these people saying all this stuff, you got to just separate yourself. And get out here and hear from God. And then go. Do what he said. And then look at Galatians 3, 1 through 7. Paul speaking here. "Oh, foolish Galatians." I ain't going to say, "Oh, foolish Word of Faith Worship Center congregation." He's talking. "Oh, foolish Galatians," he'd say, "who hath bewitched you?" Well, Paul was upset a little bit because he's a preacher, he's a teacher. Now, I can see what he's coming from because, Lewis, when I walked in that hospital, I didn't like what I saw. Man, you got people wearing masks in the emergency room. In other words, I thought about Jesus going into the temple to his father's house, and they was buying and selling, and he went in. Man, it's supposed to be a house of prayer. I walked in that hospital, I'm like, Lord, there are some sick people here. Man, it was full. And the look on people's faces, and I'm like, wow. In other words, I didn't like what I saw. That ain't God's plan for these people to be in hospitals. They're supposed to be in church, hearing the word, being healed, and if they're dealing with situations, to know how to pray. But a lot of them don't have that. That's why he said he needs us in those places to go out and the chaplain service. Because that ain't where God's people is supposed to be. They're supposed to be here. Amen, getting well. If you're dealing with something in your body, don't think you can't come to church. That pastor's going to say, well, you should have stayed home if you're sneezing, coughing. No, you come to church. We're not expecting to catch anything from you except a blessing. In other words, but you deal with that the way you need to. If you need to stay home, and that's okay, that's fine. We'll pray for you from here. But I'm telling you, if you're sick, come to church from the pastor, because we'll pray for you. We pray for the sick. Amen. Or you can call me, we'll pray for you. But don't. I'm not going to say, well, stay home, and we'll pray for you. I'm going to say, no, if you can get to church, come here limping. Amen. And we'll pray for you. Because God is the healer. And Jesus would say, go talk to the priest. If you had leprosy, go to the priest. Go to church. Leprosy, go to the priest. Now, they had laws. Now, you had to stay away from different things. But we're not under law. We're under grace now. Everyone that came to Jesus that was sick and maimed, he didn't say, whoa, whoa, step back. I'll pray for you from over here. I don't want to catch what you got. No, he said, I will. Be clean. Because what did he have to give? Nothing but health. And that's what I have. That's what you have on the inside of you, is healing is in your wings. You got Jesus. Amen. So come to church sick. We'll pray for you. You leave here healed. Amen. Better than you came. That's what church has got to be. Jesus said, you feed them. Don't you let them leave hungry either. You pray for them and then you feed them. And we try to add to some feedings here, don't we, Lou? We want to get some things worked in. We'll have more time to feed you, but we're definitely going to give you the word too. Amen. Now this was just I ain't going to say it. Or should I? We keep everything open here. You know, Reed does the birthday cakes twice a year for the birthdays. I said, well, man, if I was over there and had cake, why don't we just go ahead and add some pizza, or just that day just make it a meal and the cake? And they're like, Sherry's like, well, now that's his vision. Now I'm like, okay, but I'm just thinking, I can have my cake and eat it too, but I'd like to have my pizza and my cake. Just a thought. See, that's Reed's vision. Lord, open his eyes. Thank you, Jesus. You just got to say some things. Thank you, Lord. But they're blessed. That's from Reed's heart. He wants to make sure he blesses the God's people. That's what God told him to do. Do it. Amen. Amen. Paul saying, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you, this only would I learn of you. Talking about learning. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, we're not under law anymore, people. We're under grace. Amen. You don't have to do things here to be accepted. You come here and receive Jesus, you are accepted. Amen. Because he accepts you just the way you are every day. Now, if you listen to him, you're going to get better in your actions and in your attitudes. But he still loves you, regardless of what you do or say. But Paul is like, man, you can't, who is this? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and now you think you're going to be made perfect by what you do in the flesh? Paul said, you don't want to get underneath that law. Again, that law mentality, that's teachers that was coming in saying, well, you got to be circumcised, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Paul said, no, Jesus has taught me some things. I've learned some things when I spent time with Jesus. Those 3 years, he spent time getting to acquainted with Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, there it is, there's your key. Believe God, we got to believe God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. Even as Abraham believed God, for righteous know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The same blessing that come on Abraham, it came on him by faith. That's the same way that we walk in the blessings of the Lord every day, is by faith. That's the way we walk in healing. That's the way we're going to walk in prosperity. That's the way we're going to get cricks out of our necks. Is that crick completely gone there, Patsy? Is that crick? By faith. Lewis decreed a thing, declared a thing. By faith, I want that crick in her neck gone. By faith. whether it be a little thing or whether it be a big thing. You got to do it all by faith. Faith for Abraham. Gone before we get home. And he didn't say Patsy going to be gone. He want that crick to be gone. He said, I want my Patsy back. Thank you, Jesus. Listen and learn. I don't know if I had that scripture, but Jesus said, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn of the Lord. In other words, just follow him. Learn of him. And it won't be a struggle. Faith shouldn't be a struggle. If we're trying to struggle on something, it's not faith. We're getting back underneath that law. And my wife keeps me straight throughout the years that we'd be believing God for something. And then I'm like, well, we paid our tithes this year. And, we've done this, didn't we? And she goes like, we can't do anything. She said, you got to get back in grace. See, you're trying to struggle. You're trying to do it in your own ability. I said, you're right. Thank you, Jesus. She says, I've got to go back to thank you, Lord, for your grace. See, I was thinking all my good works, man, things it should be working out. It ain't by my works. It's by his grace. And that's where we got to watch to where the devil, he's trying to, little things. Well, you didn't do this. As soon as you're not seeing something yet, you didn't do that or you didn't do this. You know what you got to tell him? Shut up. Tell him to shut up. I ain't listening to you. I done been down that road. It's called the Rocky Road. It leads to trouble. So, Father, we just thank you. We're going to listen. We're going to learn. We're going to continue to hear. This year, our ears are going to be open to hear that, Lord, you have great places for us you want us to be. Places in your spirit, Lord. Places in the spirit that we haven't yet got to yet, Father God. Depths of your spirit, Lord. You said that you know our innermost being, Father. That it's not in man, it's not in us to direct our steps. And we're just thanking you and believing and trusting you this year, Lord, that anywhere we got off track, you're going to help us get back on track as we listen and learn and then step out by faith and do what we hear. That our ears are open to hear from you. Directives. The steps to take. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, don't stop here now. Don't stop here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Any special requests this morning? Just any prayer requests, we can agree with you this morning.